Shel Rabin.
So many times we interpret this, what's Tefillatan Shel Rabin, that if you have a whole kotel, which is full of masses of people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would listen. However, in the Ksavim of the Ari, he understands that Tefillatan Shel Rabin relates to Chazaras HaShatz. That there's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, is Palo Velo Na'ana Yachzor V'yit Palel. So again, we usually interpret it that if we davened on Sunday and the Kaddish Baruch Hu didn't listen to us, we'll daven again on Monday, and daven again on Tuesday, and daven again on Tuesday, on Wednesday. But the Gru interprets over there, his Palo Velo Na'ana Yachzor V'yit Palel, he should be machaven to what he said in his private Shemona Esrei during Chazaras HaShatz. Anyway, he should stand with Chazaras HaShatz with his finger on the words. And that is considered, that's the concept of Henkel Kabir Lo Yim'as. The Tefillas Rabim that we're speaking of is Chazaras HaShatz. So here, many of us have this golden opportunity of linking into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a guaranteed manner on a daily basis. And yet, we view that time of Chazaras HaShatz either as wasted time, or as time to learn, or as time to maybe correct the Shliach Tzibur, as opposed to really paying attention to what he is saying and viewing that as our tefillah. I remember when I was in the YU Beis Medrash, the Rav Shechter used to stand with his finger on the words and follow along with the Shliach Tzibur. That's the proper way of behaving, of relating to the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur. The fact that the Tefillas Lachash is the Tefillas Lachash and the Tefillah of the Chazaras HaShatz is out loud also to a certain degree is a remez. That all year round we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso quietly. It's the Tefillah of the Malachim. We don't want the Malachim to feel that we're stealing their Tefillah. On Yom Kippur, we're like Malachim, so we get up and say it out loud. So Hu Hadin, the same remez applies, that we daven softly because we're afraid, Chas V'Shalom, that if we daven out loud, maybe we'll lose the treasure of the Tefillah. But Chazaras HaShatz is on a level that we're not afraid of losing it. It's simply something that can't be stolen. It's something which goes beyond and therefore can be said out loud. And so here brings a mashal hediot of a person who doesn't live in the city, lives in a country bumpkin, who buys a car and drives it home. And in the store, they taught him how to put the car into first gear. And so he drives home in first gear and is thrilled that here he used to walk at 5 miles an hour and now he could drive at 10 miles an hour. And if he goes downhill, he could even make it to 20 miles an hour. And he feels wonderful that here he bought this tremendous invention that saves half his time. Were he just to learn that there's a second gear and a third gear and a fourth gear and a fifth gear, he'd be zooming along. But he never understood that there's something more to a car than a first gear. So Hu Hadin, in terms of tefillah, sometimes that the lack of knowledge is simply frustrating, that it's the treasures are all in front of us and that we miss it because of a lack of understanding of exactly what's in front of us. How does one get to this knowledge? Well, the Chazal say, Yagatu Matzata. There's no way other than learning. And learning is not going to be done during the time that we daven. Right? The time that we daven is a time for davening. It's not time for learning. Even if you have a fancy siddur like I have with all these vertlach of the Chafetz Chaim on the bottom, either you're davening or you're looking at vertlach, one or the other. You don't have time for both. And so one has to be able to set aside time. Again, with the mashal that we find by Avraham Avinu, that Vayigash Avraham, that Avraham viewed his tefillah on stone like a milchama. That's what Chazal say, that we have a gisha for a milchama. One of the basic problems of the war this past summer was that there was no preparation, there was no planning, that you try to do things in the middle of the war, let's try this. That's not a time to do it. It has to be planned out in advance. There has to be a strategy. Something has to have been thought of in advance. When you're in the war, you're never going to win a battle by, at that time, trying to think of the strategy. So Hu Hadin, in davening, the time to think about what one is doing, what one could do, what one could accomplish, what the purpose of it all is not during davening, it's before davening or after davening. It's sometime else, other time during the day that one's supposed to be able to do this. Hu Hadin, even if we talk, for a few minutes before Mincha, there's a very, very, very famous vort of Rav Itzler Blazer, the Talmud of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Even if you hear a very, very inspiring speech, if it's not followed up, it's just going to be dissipated. Namely, that you can listen once a day to an inspiring speech, and within the next 24 hours, you're going to be totally uninspired. In other words, that there has to be some sense of retzef, there has to be some sense of continuity if one wants to be able to build a direction in terms of tefillah, and sometimes that sense of continuity can be created not necessarily by hearing something new, but by repeating something that one already heard. It's known that in the Muslim movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that one should try and create a mantra and repeat the mantra over and over until it goes in. Be it a Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, be it Eish Tukad Al Mizbeach Kol Halayla Lo Yechbe. The Mishnah Berurah mentioned the person on the problem with his Yetzahara. He should say this pasuk over and over. Some pithy statement that you heard that would create a different perspective on life. I remember once I was by a dental assistant, and I was lying there, and she said, "Pull your body up to your head." And I told her that's the most beautiful statement I've heard in weeks. Like, in other words, and every time I see her, I think, "Pull your body up to your head." And that's really what life is all about: pulling our body up to our head. You know, it's a question of finding something and being able to repeat it over. That in that manner, one puts oneself into a framework, into a mood in which one is able to grow. So, if you ask, but just a minute, isn't it Beitul Torah? I have only so much time during the day. You know, it's that I put my time into learning how to daven. Then, when am I going to learn? So, yeah, to a certain degree, that's correct. But the problem is that we can't do away with davening. And davening takes up a tremendous amount of our time. If you put together Shacharis, and Mincha, and Ma'ariv, and Birkas HaMazon, in other words, you're up to over 2 hours a day on a weekday. And if you put on Shabbos, you're 3 or 4 hours a day. So you're putting 4 hours a day into davening, or more than 2 hours. How long is a day? You take off the time that you sleep and you eat, and you find that your day really is about 14 hours. And here, out of that 14 hours, a good part of it, 1/7 of your day, is already spent davening. You know, so to spend all that time without a preparation, that's Beitul Torah. That's really Beitul Zman. In other words, to spend all the time that we do davening without really being able to daven, without having the art of davening, that's Dam Chaval. So there should be a period of time that one should set to have a sense of growing in one's Bekiyus and one's Iyun in terms of davening, and that those times should be linked. There should be a certain Retzef, there should be a certain degree of continuity. And we have to understand that it's not just a question of time. You know, it is true. In terms of time, aside from learning, we spend more time in davening than any other form of Avodas Hashem. Right? Think to oneself in terms of one's Avodas Hashem. Kiddush, how long does Kiddush take? How long does it take to bench Esrog? You know, how long does it take to listen to Shofar? Davening, that's what, you know, it's after learning, we put most of our time into davening. But there's a certain point at which davening can even go overwhelming. Let's say, for example, you're traveling from America here. Let's say you're coming from, I don't know, from Los Angeles to Eretz Yisrael. So basically, you're spending a tremendous amount of time traveling, and you don't have Yishuv Hadas, and it's very, very hard to learn. And particularly if, let's say, you're a parent taking care of children. So maybe you'll be Yotzei Talmud Torah with saying Kriyat Shema, Shacharis Va'arvis, for a period of 24 hours. So you Yotzei Zayin, in terms of minimally learning that day. You were Yotzei Hagisa Ba Yom HaValayla with Kriyat Shema Yom HaValayla. But there's no way of cutting out davening. You still need a Shacharis and a Mincha and a Ma'ariv. Namely, that is built in to one's day. There's no cutting down on Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, if this is the means of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what gives meaning to life, what the Gemara calls Chayei Sha'a, that it gives Chiyus to the Sha'a. So this is something which defines a Jew. A Jew is someone who davens three times a day. You can't picture, or most of us can't picture, what it would be like to miss a davening, to miss a tefillah. It's a horrible thing. It's like a woman missing candle lighting, right? So there's a knas that she lights another candle for the rest of her life. But for a Jew to miss a tefillah is something which is almost unheard of. Even if we were to miss, we were to be a chves in camp, or be on a hike, or be in the army, so we may not be able to learn a certain day. But daven, we'd always daven that day, be it a tefillah k'tzara, but we would always daven on that day. So this then is a context in which we're going to try and cover Hilchos Tefillah and Birat Tefillah. Okay, we'll continue B'li Neder tomorrow.